That's Brother Miller and Brother Zach.
Thank you. 44, Easy Bakes.
This morning we've sung, glad to be back in the Lord's house today, and I hope and pray everyone has been prayerful for the service today, and that the Lord would meet with us and guide us and direct us in this service, for we need the Lord's help. We've got a lot of things to be prayerful about. There were some things mentioned in Sunday school this morning. Brother White and Brother Brown, of course, we need to continue to pray for them, and that the Lord would heal their bodies, and pray for the effort meetings that it's going on. That many lost will be saved. I pray that this will be a year that there'll be a great harvest. And I truly believe that it will, if the Lord's people are ready and they're wanting it. I truly do. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer.
My cousin, I requested prayer for last week, died Thursday morning. His funeral is today. And in looking for one of my brothers to tell him about this, I found out he was in Vanderbilt Hospital having a foot amputated. So we request prayer for that. That would be my brother Carl. He's usually in Alabama.
All right, let's remember her family and the loss, and her brother, someone else this morning. Remember Brother Bird. I'd ask that the church remember Brother Luke Spurgeon, as he is now an ordained minister of Rayon City Missionary Baptist Church. His ordination was yesterday, and great number in attendance for that, and the Lord was there and really blessed that service, but he needs our prayers. He's going to be married here pretty soon too, and the next month or so, I forgot exactly what the date was, but he's going to be getting married, and he's going to be he's taking over the pastor of a church, and he's got a lot of things coming upon him fast at a young age. And we need to pray that the Lord watch over him and guide him in his work that he's called him to do. And I know he will, but I think it's our obligation that we pray for one another. Anything else?
Brother Barry, I asked the church this morning in Sunday school, but I asked the old church. Man, I met this week in the hospital and had a lot of questions. I tried to answer the best of my ability, and I just asked that you remember me pray. They live in Bowling Green. My wife was in the hospital having surgery. He's done a lot of reading in the Bible. I think he looked for some answers.
Let's remember this man. Never know what door of opportunity might open that we could point somebody to the Lord that can be saved. Appreciate this. Remember Brother Galloway too this morning, as he called this morning and said he's got a migraine this morning and couldn't make it today. Anything else? Brother Billy, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you. Help keep on your focus, focus in the right direction, Lord. We pray to God that you will speak to the Lord in this whole time. Let your word be in this morning. So if you're strong, we do whatever you do. We ask for your truth in this care of life. But also, we want to use my grace and action while you're in the care of the truth of us.
Trouble. Brother Armour, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. Thank you for all that he's done for me, the blessings that he's given to me. I just need to stand up and say thank you for that.
Bless you. Appreciate this. Someone else have something on their heart this morning? Appreciate this. Someone else. Now we believe in letting the Lord lead the service and direct us. And, you know, if you have something on the heart that needs said or done, and the Lord's directing it. That's the key point. If the Lord's directing it, then it's right. If the Lord's not directing it, then it's not right. So, but we believe in the Lord directing our hearts and guiding us. And we don't have any set program for a church service. We want the Lord to direct us. I know I do. So if you have anything on your heart this morning, you know,
please.
Bless. It's good to have you back. I knew there was something wrong when you got up and walked out the other day. Good to have you. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Very familiar thought that I have this morning. But in that last song that we just sang about Beulah Land, about heaven, the home, our home one day, it says in it there's just a few more days of labor. Just a few more days of labor, and there's a, you know, I guess the older we get, the fewer the days get, but yet it's still a labor, and I guess it depends on how you look at it, half the glass half empty or half full, but you know, it's a blessed opportunity that we have to labor. That's the way I like to look at it. Part of our labors that God has or expects for us is prayer. That's part of our work. Part of our work as a saved people that we pray. And those are what my thoughts are on this morning. And I'd ask that you pray for me that I may be able to bring these things out this morning the way God would have me to, that they would affect us all. I just pray that we're all affected through the Lord's Word, that it has its weight in our lives each and every time that we hear it, and that we all grow from it. In this 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'm going to start reading in verse 36 and go through 46. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto him, Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. In our reading here, we find the greatest example that man was ever given on this earth. And we find in this example that prayer is an important part of our lives. It's an important part of our service. It's the only way that we can seek and know God's will for our lives. It's through and by prayer. We don't get to know and understand what our will is from God through and by osmosis. I mean, it just don't come to us out of the clear blue sky. It's not something that we don't get direction in truth and in righteousness out of God's word through and by just coming out of the thin air. It comes through and by prayer. And just as the example that Jesus gave here when he was in the garden, there was a great burden upon him. There was a great burden upon Jesus. You know, he knew that he was coming to the point and place in his life where death was going to overtake him. He knew that he was going to have to die, referring to drinking this cup of death, of the sins of the whole world, that he was going to have to take upon him at this death. He was understanding of that. He knew all the weight that went along with it. He knew all about it because his Father had told him. And he said, not my will, but thy wilt. He wasn't doing what he wanted to do. Even though I believe that we read in this that Jesus, he didn't want to die either, did he? He didn't want this, the sins of the whole world, the weight of these things cast upon him. But he also knew that it was his place. That he came to this world to die for the sins of all mankind. He knew that it was going to be an awful thing and it was going to be horrible. But that was part of the labor that he still had to do. That was part of the work that was still in progress for him upon this earth while he lived, that he had to do that. You and I, today, we have that same labor. That labor to pray. To pray to God, intercede with God for the will of our lives. And not only that, this morning, you know, Jesus, when he was here, he was praying for us, for our sins. The weight of our sins was what was upon him. All those things was what was so heavy. We can look over into, I believe it's the book of Luke, and we can see it in the parallel writing of this same thing, that as he prayed, that it was as if great drops of blood, the sweat came out as blood out of his forehead in his prayer for us. He was offering up himself at this very point for us to the Father. And he went to him. You and I today, we are standing in the gap for many, many people around us. We are given the labor and the responsibility of prayer to stand in the gap for a lost and dying world, for the children that's coming up, for his little soul when he gets up to that age. This church is responsible to pray for him. That when he gets up to that age of accountability, that he'll be convicted and drawn by the Holy Spirit of God and brought down low. And that he would repent and trust in the Lord and Savior to the saving of his soul. You and I have been given that responsibility to pray for our wants and our needs for one another. And it's a blessed opportunity. See, when you come to think about it, and I know I've said this before, but it's still, every time I say it, I'm in awe that when I bow down and pray, that I had an opportunity to talk to an almighty God that created the heavens and the earth, that created everything that we see, that we know, that's in charge of everything that goes on. Every time I think about that, that me, somebody like me, I can bow down on my knees and turn my heart towards him and call out unto him. And he hears this feeble little person standing here this morning. And he hears each one of us. It's awesome to me to think that we serve such a great God, but that he's not so great that he don't hear each and every one of our prayers. Jesus, when he was here, we were on his mind. We were part of that cup that he had to drink. Our sins was part of the cup that he had to drink, the death that he had to die. And it weighed heavy upon him. And we as a church this morning, I want us to consider the thoughts that of our burden for the lost that are around us. Do we, as a church, are we burdened like we need to be for the lost? You know, I've been really busy this week. Been revival and ordination. And, you know, I've had a lot of good prayers, and I've talked to the Lord a lot this week, and it's just been a good week. I know by experience that the more that you talk to the Lord, the better your day is going to be, the better your week is going to be. Because the Lord's involved with directing your steps and your path. I know from experience. I know personally that's how it is. But, you know, I'm thinking about, We're going into the revival season. There's so many churches that are having revival efforts. And the one that I've been blessed to be able to help in. I believe there may have been one lost soul there one night. It's hard to preach to the lost if the lost is not there. I believe that it is our responsibility now. It's our responsibility, church, that we pray for our lost. I believe that through and by the prayers of the church, I believe first and foremost that the reason that this world is still spinning today. Without that, I don't believe it would be going on. The love of the Lord, people lifting up the Lord. That I believe it's the church's responsibility to lift up this lost and dying world, to point them to Jesus, to invite them to come, to hear the gospel message. And this is something that I know many of you have told me about inviting family and inviting friends to come, but they won't come. But that's a part of the labor. And the labor does not stop. And our prayers cannot stop. Our prayers has to continually go up to God that He would intercede. We don't never know that how it's going to have an effect upon them. We have to continue to work and to do those things. Seeking out God's will. And as we have, you know, we can read so many example after example how that people were burdened for the lost. You can find over and we'll just look at a few of them. And I don't want to go too long this morning, but I want us to just get the thought in our mind that when you read some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, in the ninth chapter it says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen." The Apostle Paul had a great, no doubt, a continual sorrow in his heart for the lost and dying world. We, as God's people, must have that in our hearts and in our lives. You can turn on over into the 10th chapter in the first verse. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Is that our heart's desire this morning in our prayer for all of our family and our friends that are lost? Is that our prayer? Is that burden upon our heart for them? When I was praying up here this morning, it hit me just so hard. You know, and my thoughts was that we could all just, with our prayers, rush the storehouse of heaven, and God would just pour out His blessings upon us, that the lost would come in and they would hear the gospel and be saved. We need to have a greater burden. I know I need a greater burden for the lost. I need more focus and desire upon the lost. We are so busy. We are so busy, but just remember, we're never too busy. We can never be too busy to pray for those that are lost and intercede for those that are lost. Salvation is the most important thing in the world. Without it, you don't have nothing. And I know that we, as human beings, there is nothing that we can do as far as getting somebody saved. We cannot save a soul. We'll never be able to do it. Never have, never will. But it is our responsibility that we intercede upon the part of those that are lost, that God will put our hands around those that are around us that we know. Oh, that God would just spare them one more day, and something might reach them, that something would affect them, that their lost soul would be condemned in the eyes of God, that they would be saved, that they would seek Him to be saved. It's our responsibility. It's our obligation. It's our labor of love for our Lord, for what He did for us, for drinking that cup for us, for taking our sins upon Him and carrying them to the cross and shedding His blood for me and for you. It's our responsibility and it's our labor that we do that. As we come into this effort meeting, that we're drawing near to our revival, and you know, I hesitate to say that we get a mentality so many times that revival is the only time that anybody can be saved. And we get this focus and when it comes around revival time, we put forth a great deal of effort and we do put a great deal of prayer into it. But I believe that we're supposed to do it every day. I believe that souls can be saved any day, anywhere, and any time that they get their hearts right before an Almighty God. We put a lot of focus and emphasis on a day that we pick on a calendar for a revival, instead of letting the Lord bring revival. Bringing revival in our hearts, reviving our hearts. And you know, if you want true revival in your hearts, you can only get it through prayer. Because He's the one that's going to revive you. He's the one that's going to lift you up. He's the one that's going to give you the joy, the peace, the love in your lives. He's the one that's going to do that. That's true revival, when the Lord just fills you up and He blesses you. But you can't get that but through communion with Him, through talking with Him, through praying to Him, seeking His guidance and seeking His direction, seeking His will for your life. That's the only way. That's the only way it works. And you know, and we get that way many times during revival. We get fired up and we get ready, don't we? We do. We get in that praying mood and that praying mode, and we start praying for the lost. But let's not wait for revival, people. Let's don't wait for a day that we've marked on a calendar in 1 month out of our 12 in a year to be burdened down for the lost and to be asking people to come to church and that they might be saved, and to talking to those that we meet and to praying for them and interceding for them. Let's don't wait for that. Let's do it today. Let's work today. Let's labor today. We've just a few more days to labor. That's what the song said. We've just a few more days to labor. And it's important that we take these few days that God has given us and we do that. We labor. We intercede. Prayer, of course, is just a part of the things. But I do believe that when we pray and we get that direction and we get that guidance, that God opens the doors and He provides. If He's working on your end, I guarantee He's working on the other end. If He sends you to talk to somebody or whatever, I guarantee He's working on the other end. And I guarantee it will have its effect. Maybe the reason we don't see no effects anymore is because we're not praying for that effect. We're not praying for the doors to be open. We're not seeking this. We don't have the burden for the lost that we should have. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself a whole lot. But I do know one thing. I want to see the lost soul saved. I want to see him saved. I sure do. It's the purest form of worship that we can have. Bible talks about, you know, he gives us over in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, he gives us directions, I guess you might say, on how to pray. He tells us to go into our closet. Go into our closet and put all this other stuff, get it out of the way, and come to him. Bring all of it to him. I know that the Bible also tells you to pray without ceasing. I believe that you can pray while you're driving down the road. I believe that you can pray while you're working. Whatever you're doing, I believe that we, in our minds and our hearts, can offer up prayer to God. Because I do. I talk to the Lord all day. It's important that we, you know, you hear a lot of times that I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. You know, and I believe that is a phrase that's used. That, well, I'm thinking about you in the Lord. I'm thinking about you in the Lord. I talked to the Lord about you this morning. That might be an older phrase that some of you might not know, but I've heard that all my life. And it has a phrase, well, I'm thinking about you in the Lord. I've talked to the Lord about your situation this morning, this day. We as God's people, we need to be burdened. We need to be thinking about people in the Lord. About their souls, and I believe that the Lord will bless. I truly do. Over in the book of Philippians, there's much that can be said about this, and second chapter over here. I'm going to just read one verse, but I mean, verse 1 through 13 is good, but it says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Well, I've already said earlier that the only way to know God's will is through it by prayer. We've got to talk to Him to find out what that will is. And if we're not doing that and we're not knowing what His will is, then we're not doing what the Lord's, what's pleasing to God. It's important that we do these things. Over, in the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus speaking, and he was going about in the 36th through the 38th verse, it says, "But he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. There's a great harvest The fields are white. All we got to do is open the door outside and walk out there. And the fields are white for harvest. There's lost souls everywhere you look. It's not for a lack of, you know, we're not in a secluded area where there's only one or two houses. But we live in a very populated place, and we need laborers because the harvest is here. The prayers. We sang in one of the songs this morning, about Stephen and his prayer. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. He was being stoned, and his prayer to the Lord. And I believe that what he had to say in his prayer and was all used to convict Saul or the Apostle Paul, the one that wrote the majority of the New Testament. His labors. He labored right up until he took his last breath. And he looked up and said he saw the Father sitting on the right hand, didn't he? He labored up until the very end. Our labors are just a few more days. It's important that we have prayer in our lives, and that I know myself. I guess I had this on my heart actually before Brother Tom came, and I was, I guess, going to add this on to the sermon where I preached a few weeks ago about study. And I believe study and prayer go hand in hand. I believe that the study of God's Word without prayer, that we are many times not able to understand just exactly what the Lord is trying to say, but through and by the study and the prayer of God's Word, that it opens our eyes to the understanding of the spiritual things that God has put forth. And I believe that prayer is a big part of that. I believe that we should do these things. Over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 26th verse, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, there's sometimes that we get burdened down so heavy with things that words don't come out, do they? Words don't come out of our mouth. So heavy of a burden. But the Bible tells us here that the Lord, the Spirit of God, is able to, I guess, make intercession with our groanings and those things that we don't, that we maybe mumble. That our heart is so heavy and our burden is so great that the Lord is looking at our heart. And He makes intercession for those groanings and He hears them. What a great thing that the Lord hears these things. He's left us the Comforter, the Paracletus, the one alongside us that we can speak and get direction through His Spirit. It's a great thing to have that. In the book of James, I'm gonna close with this. In the 5th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, "If any is sick, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Eliath was a man of such like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Prayer is powerful. It has a great work. It truly does. It has a great work, and it has a great thing. We need to pray just as that there would be a great harvest, that the earth would bring forth her fruit, that there would be a great harvest, a burden for the lost souls. I pray that we all today, I mean, we all have loved ones in our lives that we pray for, that we are burdened for. It's okay. It's part of the labor.
Hiya.
Just keep laboring. We've got a few more days to labor while we're here on this earth. We've got a few more days to intercede for their soul's sake. We can't save them, but we can, just as Stephen did, we can go down and fight, and we can offer up our last breath in intercession for those that are lost around us. And I believe that the Lord is pleased with that when we do. God bless each and every one of you this morning. That's my message. Would there be a thought, a word on anyone's heart? I thank each and every one that's come this way today. And I pray that the Lord bless you for your efforts. And He'll be with you and watch over and keep you safe. Please pray for our lost. Pray for our lost. Something on anyone's heart. Tonight is conference, but it's been discussed that we actually postpone our conference until next month. Brother Billy said that there wasn't anything really, and I mean, we discussed and decided that Harvest is still in revival where I've been helping in this effort. That of course Mount Calvary over here is also in revival still tonight. That we dismiss and go support revival efforts has been said. Is there any? Has anybody got any thoughts or words on this? Any objections? Okay. Tonight we'll dismiss and like I said. I've been helping in the effort at Hendersonville at Harvest. And I know for those that might not want to drive as far, Mount Calvary is going on over here. It's closer. If you want to go support that effort, I'm sure they would appreciate it too. But if we dismiss, let's go somewhere. Let's support the cause somewhere, whether it be at Hendersonville at Harvest or Calvary or wherever it might be. Let's try to be somewhere. Any other announcements or anything else? So, at Victory, this coming Saturday, there's a men's, it's called Men of Honor. It's from a men's day retreat for anyone that would like to go. Information's on the door out there. Be different ones speaking. Nothing else we've ever done, all standing will be useless. Brother Virgil, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.